They were not as hairy as a chimpanzee, but more so than any man he had ever seen, and he had known some remarkably hirsute human beings. But the faces gave them an unhuman and frightening aspect, especially since all were snarling with battle rage. Below, a low forehead was a bloom of bone that ran without indentation above the eyes and then continued around to form O's. Though the eyes were as large as his, they looked small compared to the broad face in which they were set. The cheekbones billowed out and then curved sharply inward. The tremendous noses gave the giants the appearance of proboscis monkeys. At another time, Burton might have been amused by them. Not now. The roars that tore out of their more than gorilla-sized chests were deep as a lion's, and the huge teeth would have made a Kodiak bear think twice before attacking. Their fists, large as his head, held clubs as thick and as long as wagon poles or stone axes. They swung their weapons at each other, and when they struck flesh, bones broke with cracks as loud as wood splitting. Sometimes the clubs broke too. Burton had a moment in which to look around. The light was weak. The sun had only half risen above the peaks across the river. The air was far colder than any he had felt on this planet, except during his defeated attempts to climb to the top of the perpendicular ranges. Then, one of the victors of a combat looked around for another enemy, and saw him. His eyes widened. For a second he looked as startled as Burton had when he had first opened his eyes. Perhaps he had never seen such a creature as Burton before, any more than Burton had seen one like him. If so, he didn't take long to get over his surprise. He bellowed, jumped over the mangled body of his foe, and ran toward Burton, raising an axe that could have felled an elephant. Burton also ran, his grail in one hand. If he were to lose that, he might as well die now. Without it, he would starve, or have to eke out on fish and bamboo sprouts. He almost made it. An opening appeared before him, and he sped between two titans, their arms around each other and each straining to throw over the other, and another who was backing away before the rain of blows delivered by the club of a fourth. Just as he was almost through, the two wrestlers toppled over on him. He was going swiftly enough that he wasn't caught directly under them, but the flailing arm of one struck his left heel. So hard was the blow, it smashed his foot against the ground and stopped him instantly. He fell forward and began to scream. His foot must have been broken, and he had torn muscles throughout his leg. Nevertheless, he tried to rise and to hobble on to the river. Once in it, he could swim away if he didn't faint from the agony. He took two hops on his right foot, only to be seized from behind. He flew up into the air, whirling around, and was caught before he began his descent. The Titan was holding him with one hand at arm's length. The enormous and powerful fist clutched around Burton's chest. Burton could hardly breathe. His ribs threatened to cave in. Despite all this, he hadn't dropped his grail. Now he struck it against the giant's shoulder. Lightly, as if brushing off a fly, the giant tapped the metal container with his axe, and the grail was torn from Burton's grip. The behemoth grinned and bent his arm to bring Burton in closer. Burton weighed 180 pounds, but the arm didn't quiver under the strain. For a moment, Burton looked directly into the pale blue eyes, sunk in the bony circles. The nose was lined with many broken veins. The lips protruded because of the bulging prognathous jaws beneath, not, as he had first thought, because the lips were so thick. Then the Titan bellowed and lifted Burton up above his head. Burton hammered the huge arm with his fists, knowing that it was in vain, but unwilling to submit like a caught rabbit. Even as he did so, he noted, though not with the full attention of his mind, several things about the scene. The sun had been just rising above the mountain peaks when he had first awakened. Although the time passed since he had jumped to his feet was only a few minutes, the sun should have cleared the peaks. It hadn't. It hung at exactly the same height as when he had first seen it. Moreover, the upward slant of the valley permitted a view for at least 4 miles. The Grailstone by him was the last one. Beyond it was only the plain and the river. This was the end of the line, or the beginning of the river. There was no time nor desire for him to appreciate what these meant. He merely noted them during the passage between pain, rage, and terror. Then, as the giant prepared to bring his axe around to splinter Burton's skull, The giant stiffened and shrieked. To Burton, it was like being next to a locomotive whistle. The grip loosened and Burton fell to the ground. For a moment he passed out from the pain in his foot.